Hello everyone and welcome back to Going Purple with me, Lizzie McIntosh, where we talk about serious F1 stuff in a not so serious way. All right, Marta, we've had some technical difficulties. So for the second time, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here. I know you have a really busy schedule. You're going to an awards ceremony tonight, which is exciting, the Autosport Awards. So thank you for being here. How have your last few weeks been?
I mean, the last few weeks have been quite busy, actually. Mm-hmm. I think all this year has been really busy. But, you know, after the win in Austin, it was great, you know, like winning there with the F1 and everything. But it's been crazy, crazy busy, all of it. Interviews, you know, like events, a lot of stuff coming in. But I think it's good, you know, like also it's good for our actually visibility and everything. So yeah, quite busy.
And you just won the F1 Academy Championship, the first championship to be won in this series. How has your life changed since you won the championship personally, but also in terms of course, now you're joining Freca next year. Yeah, how has your life changed and how do you look back on yourself a year ago and yourself now?
Well, obviously, everything's changed a lot. When I was last year, I was racing W Series, mm-hmm. and we know the season didn't even finish, like because of the money and everything. So, obviously, this year coming into Formula One Academy and winning the championship, obviously, it's really different. I've been working with Prema, which is a really amazing team, I have to say. Like, I've been working so well with them. But yeah, obviously, it's changed a lot, you know, like before. Mentally I was also like a bit lower in terms of racing because I was doing the W Series and obviously I was probably not there in the top, so I was like a bit not really good because, you know, like we always want to win and we always want to do good, so it was a bit difficult. But yeah, this year I think I took it very different, you know, like no pressure. I still wanted to, like, obviously I wanted to win and I knew I could win because I got the confidence and I knew if I was with Prema it would be probably even more possible because I know they have like the best setup in the car, and things like this. But yeah, everything has changed so much. Obviously, I've been racing with the F1. Like a lot of people know me more now, you know.
Do you find that weird when people come up to you? Has that been something you've had to adjust to, or does it feel quite natural for you?
No, I think it feels natural. Like in the beginning, probably when you at first, when then you get someone to tell you like, oh my God, Marta, it's you, or like something like also might happen to you as well. It's like, okay, like I'm just like getting like people is getting to know me. But then after, you know, like in Austin, there was a lot of Spanish, like Hispanic people, you know, like coming from Mexico and coming from South America, and it was nice and it was really good because everyone was just there, like, you know, Spanish speaking, and you know, like Marta, is this you, blah 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 blah. So yeah, it was really cool actually to see all of these people just like supporting me and everything.
Wow, well, you've kind of just told a massive success story there, and I said to you earlier that I feel like I know Marta as the F1 Academy champion and I know all these incredible things about you now, but I know nothing about you when you were younger, and I would love to know from your perspective where your story needs to start on this podcast in order for me to kind of know what I need to know about Marta today.
Well, I think obviously I started racing when I was 9 years old, but before that I always loved like motorsport, cars, you know. My dad used to see F1 and I used to see it with him, even when Fernando Alonso was winning in 2005 2006, I think, something like that. So yeah, basically we went one day to the racetrack. I really liked it. Even my sister was there with me. And she enjoyed it the first time, actually. But then she was like really scared to go on like higher level, let's say like higher speed and things like this. And I still wanted to go. Like I was really competitive and I was like, no, I want to try the faster car, you know, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, basically I tried the fastest go-kart and everything. And the guys in the track saw me and they were like, I think you're doing good. If you like this, we can let you try a competition go-kart if you want. So basically one day we went, I just tried the go-kart. I basically sort of like fall in love with it. Like, you know, the competition, well, obviously not their competition, but like the speed, the driving. And then we went once to a racetrack, to like a proper competition, to see a race for the first time. And I was like, Dad, I want to do this. Like, this looks so much fun. You know, like, I tried a lot of sports and I didn't really enjoy them. But the racing was like having everything, basically.
So you would say your dad is one of the people who really kickstarted?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Obviously, if my dad would have not been like pushing, I don't know if I would be here today, because my mom is like really, she was really scared at first, you know, like.
I would be as well.
Exactly. Like, you know, the young kid, because I have a sister, but she's older. And then, you know, the young kid that she has, 9 years old, going into a go-kart and like racing towards 30 guys there in a racetrack. She was a bit scared about it, but she always supported me. So,
wow. Well, I've heard kind of and read stories of you explaining your experiences in your first kind of karting races and, you know, explaining that you were the only girl or one of the only girls. Was it ever something that you consciously thought of whilst you were at those races and something that you consciously recognised?
I mean, for me, it was obviously, as you said, all about racing. At the end of the day, we're just racing drivers. But yeah, it's true that I was probably the only girl when I was racing in 2013 in the Spanish Championship. And then after that, when I went to international races, it was basically me and probably two or three more girls out of 80 guys, like,
oh, really?
on the grid. Yeah. So as you can see, like, it was nothing. It was like no girls. And yeah, obviously I knew, like, obviously girls probably didn't enjoy that much motorsport as guys. But I think also like the way things have changed from like 13 years ago to now, it's very different. Now I go to a racetrack, you know, and then I see a lot of young girls and I'm like even happy, like, you know, like when I was your age, like I see those girls and I was like, when I was this age, I was the only one probably, or maybe one or another. And then now you can see a lot more girls. So it's quite cool to see that.
Well, something I really wanted to ask you is whether you actually, when you're doing your job, whether you allow yourself the moments to think of how important what you're doing actually is. You say you go to the karting track now, you see more younger girls. Do you actually ever think, oh, I might really have something to do with this? Because you're right, when young girls and can see their role models doing exactly what they want to do, they think, well, if she can do it, I can do it too. Do you ever let yourself think about how pivotal you have been in the journey of women's motorsports?
I mean, I don't think I think about it in general, but after then you realize how important it is to like do what you do. Just obviously you're racing and you're doing it, but obviously, like, you know, you just wait a moment and then you think like you're actually being a role model, like, for these young girls, because at the end of the day, okay, being the first F1 Academy champion, obviously all of these girls, even not me, but just all of the girls that are racing in the F1 Academy this year and the next years, is just like gonna be role models for these young girls. So I think it's cool and it's what we need in the end of the day, because as I said, many years ago there was probably me and another girl on the track. Now there's a lot more, but I think there still have to be a lot of more girls that are actually interested, but they don't get into motors for whatever reason. So yeah, I mean, it's quite important to have role models, because when I started, I didn't really have a role model as a girl. It was obviously always Fernando Alonso, you know, as a Spanish driver. Probably I was looking for also Danica Patrick, because she was racing in the NASCAR, and she was, you know, like on the top there pushing with the guys. But apart from that, it was really difficult to have like a role model as a girl, because there was basically no woman racing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you've been racing now in W Series. You started in 2019.
Yeah.
What are your memories of the W Series? You mentioned earlier on that it had been cut short. But what do you remember from those years racing in W Series?
Well, I mean, it was good years, because at the end of the day, you know, like, it was, you didn't have to pay to race. So for us, it was great. Like, for me, 2018, it was a year that I did karting, because I didn't have the money to keep on going with formulas. And yeah, obviously the like W Series coming in and then saying they're gonna pay for everything, like, you don't have to pay for nothing, it was obviously really good for me. And yeah, obviously W Series was a great opportunity, I think, because it's sort of like, it was the first championship of women in single seaters, just women. And then they gave us a lot of, well, they didn't give us a lot of track time, but at the end of the day, as I said, you didn't have to pay anything, mm-hmm. so it was good. And obviously I got so much memories from it, like also not just from racing, but as well from people that I met in the W Series and also drivers, you know, like I met Jamie, I met Baiske, I met Alice, I met a lot of drivers there. So even one of my best friends, I ended up being like, how do you say when you go to a wedding and you're like
you're the bridesmaid.
Exactly. Yeah. Aww, yeah. Yeah. I was a bridesmaid of Gosha. Rodest.
Oh my gosh.
She was racing in 2019 and 2021. So I even got like a really good friend there, you mm-hmm. know. So it was cool, you know, like good memories from W Series as well. But yeah, it's quite different, I think, the concept of W Series compared like to F1 Academy, because in F1 Academy we get much more track time. And then we work with junior single-seater teams. But yeah, I have to say the W Series was good while it lasted. And yeah, I cannot say anything bad about it.
You need to give me some bridesmaids tips, because I'm being a bridesmaid next year.
Next year?
I can't speak today. Really? I'm being a bridesmaid next year. But that's good to know. I'm glad that it was something that you look back on so fondly. And I was sad when W Series was cut short. When that happened, I mean, what were you thinking at that time? Did you ever think, oh, could this be it? Where am I going to go from here? Because now, looking back, I mean, hindsight is such a great thing and you've had such an incredible year. But were you worried when W Series ended?
I mean, I was sort of obviously like, you know, like I was used to it because it actually like sort of happened the same at another year. We mm-hmm. couldn't finish the season. So, yeah, I was a bit worried because honestly, I was like, okay, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Because I don't have basically anything. I don't have the budget. Like, obviously, I can try to find the budget, but it's going to be so difficult. Maybe I can try to go into GT's prototypes, mm-hmm. you know, which is a lower budget. And then just, I don't know, like any opportunity that I could get. But yeah, I was already like listening about F1 Academy, you know, like it was coming in. But I thought it was for youngers, as in like really youngers, mm-hmm, like probably mm-hmm. 16 to 20. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do it. Mm. But yeah, then I just listened. There was a girl, you know, Lena, mm-hmm. Lena Bueller. She was going to race. And then I was like, okay, she's like 20, 24, 25. So obviously I think I can race then. So yeah, basically Prema approached me. Obviously they were looking for like experienced drivers and yep. everything. And I was like, well, yeah. Why not? Like, I want to do this. I think it's a good opportunity. And then I started getting know more about F1 Academy as well. What was, like, the goal of it?
Mm.
Like, what was it all about, basically? And yeah, obviously, so grateful for F1 Academy as well for just coming in that year, you know, like, last year, in the end of the year, because, obviously, I don't know what I would be doing right now, also yeah. because it's so difficult. Motorsport is so expensive.
Yeah, and I think that's something people yeah. don't talk about really yeah. at all. It's
yeah,
crazy.
And it's crazy. It's just crazy. You need a lot of support. And you have to work a lot. You need to have a manager that takes care. You need to have, like, a full team of, like, communications mm-hmm. and marketing and, like, take care of your social media, take care of everything. So it's quite difficult. And, yeah, but I cannot say, like, obviously I was so happy with F1 Academy. And then when I got the seat for Prema, I was super happy. I remember the boss called me.
Oh, yeah?
And I still didn't know if I was going to get in because there was, like, more options of girls racing. And then he was like, you're coming to Prema for the next week for the media days. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, like, yeah. I was quite excited.
Oh, what was your, yeah. like, reaction? Who did you tell first that you had got the seat?
I was in my... So, basically, I live in Valencia. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I was living with my flatmates.
Okay.
And I was telling them. It was two of them. And I was like, oh, my God, now they're going to call me and they're going to tell me. And I don't know what they're going to say. I hope they say yes, because if they say no, what am I going to do? And I got the call. And we were all so excited, all of us. It was quite funny. And then after that, we were like, yeah, like, obviously, they were the ones who knew it first. But then I called my parents, of course, because they obviously mm-hmm. were, like, waiting for that answer, basically.
Oh, that's such a good story. I wish I had footage of you that day, just, like, screaming, all excited. But Prema, I mean, huge name in motorsport. All the F1 Academy teams being sponsored, or supported, I should say, by F2 teams as well. and F3 teams. How much access have you had to the Prema resources, to the drivers in other series? How beneficial has that actually been? Because I don't think anyone really spoke about that in terms of the F1 Academy, in terms of the fact that you were so closely linked to such incredible teams. So what was that experience like for you?
I mean, it was nice because at the end of the day, when we started the F1 Academy, we all had new engineers, mm-hmm. you know, like you don't know them. One of my engineers was coming from Aerolinks, I think.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, obviously the engineer was like, my relationship with my engineer was great. He's an Italian guy. Honestly, I love him. Like his name is Riccardo. We always spoke in the radio in Italian. And yeah, obviously being in Prema, basically, I think the thing that gives you is just like, we used to have a lot of F4 reference labs. Because mm-hmm. they raced in, I don't know, in Zambor, they raced in Monza. Mm-hmm. They raced in a lot of tracks that we were racing. So it was good to be also in Prema because they had a lot of references labs mm-hmm. and also like videos. So, you know, like they have a lot of information so that you could go to the track and then have a reference at least.
Yeah.
Which is not the same day, but still helps a lot, you know, like with the data, mm-hmm. The way they break or like how, like basically everything. So it was just good because of that, I think. Because obviously there was other teams, they might have had references, but I think also the references from Prema were quite good.
Yeah.
Because they and are really
so
good.
For so many years.
Yeah, exactly. Them. So many years and also the effort they have in it. Italian F4 and everything, they always have good drivers. They always like okay, not this year probably, but they won a lot of the Italian F4, and yeah, I think in this case it was really good in that terms, and they also look. I was once in Barcelona in the GP, and it was the F2 there I think, and I was just like I was just there in the debrief of mm-hmm. the F2, like listening to what they say, you know, like how they work. So it's good as an F1 Academy driver, like as a maybe not that professional driver like I would be, to just listen to these guys from F2, yeah. like how they do the debrief, so then you can also learn from it. So, I mean, in general, it's just all of it, like, it's just knowledge and everything, because they have a lot of experience, so it was really good because of this. And obviously, I'm going to stay with them for next year as well, so it's good.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, which I'm really excited to hear all about. But before we do, I mean, obviously, the kind of the person at the helm of F1 Academy at the moment is, of course, Susie Wolf. And I mean, it's no secret to anyone on the podcast that I'm obsessed with Susie Wolf. I think she's incredible. But how do you think, now having raced in W Series and F1 Academy, how do you think F1 Academy can be more successful and have more longevity and last longer than the W Series did?
Well, I think, as you said, I think Susie Wolf is great. I think she's been, I want to say this because she's been helping me a lot this year as well. And I think she's just doing an amazing job. But yeah, I think it's quite different because I think W Series was just taken care of by investors and this thing. So maybe if the money was not there, or if anyone would decide not to pay, maybe it was already gone, which is basically what happened. Mm-hmm. But I think F1 Academy is like a long-term project. As we can see right now, like, you know, F1 is taking care of it, so that's quite important.
Yeah.
We know F1 has the budget to basically run it, which is good. And then this year has been the first year. I think it's been more of a year of like trying, but it was really good. Like the competition was really good. The tracks we've raced in, like the organization, it was basically really, really good. But yeah, I think it's just like a long-term thing for young girls to come in, you know, to try to obviously get the experience, the track time that they can and everything. And I think it's not going to be obviously like W Series. It's going to obviously stay because that's how it's going to work. I think it's more like, as it says, F1 Academy, as in trying to get more young girls and then make them good, you know, or like just working with the junior single-seater teams and try to give them as much knowledge as they can. But yeah, I think if F1 keeps on, like, obviously, it's a project from F1. It's not going to go bye. Like, it's not going to go bye-bye. Well, I hope so. That would sound a bit
it's
weird.
A good phrase. I like it. It's not going to go bye-bye.
Yeah, no, but I think, obviously, now with the 10 teams joining, obviously, F1 Academy, that's going to help a lot. Like, I think everything's just going to be, like, everything's going to be getting more involved. Also, like, fans, people that is not... Well, people that is fun from F1 but is not maybe fun from F1 Academy are also going to get more involved. So I think I see longevity in the project, I think. As I said, there's obviously people that's going to be competing for 2 years, and there's going to be always girls that are going to come from karting. But yeah, obviously I think it's really different from what we did before, and I think it's a really good project.
I'm sad that you're leaving. I mean, so for those who don't know how F1 Academy works, when you win the championship you have to leave, same as F2. But it's sad because I feel like F1 Academy is about to take on a new, you know, it's going to start its new journey as well, being support events at F1 races, obviously having the backing from F1 teams. But it's a bit of a double-edged sword because you've won the championship, which is incredible. I remember that day so well. I remember just seeing you guys walking through the paddock afterwards, the F1 paddock, and I was like, this is what I've been waiting for. You know, to see you guys just taking your space and you are so successful. I mean, what was the first... Because it was... You won the championship with 2 races to go?
Two races to go.
Yeah.
2 races in Austin, 2 races to go, yeah.
Yeah. So that weekend, or leading up to that weekend, it was quite clear that you were in the running for the championship. And is it hard to kind of take the pressure off yourself and be, yeah, I'll be fine? Or was it right up until the moment of that race where you won, where you could kind of start to relax? What was the first thought that went through your head when you won the championship?
I mean, when I won the championship, of course, like, because obviously I went to the finish line. I was first in the race. And I was like, I don't know, it was weird. Like, I knew I had won.
Yeah.
And then I got my engineer like, okay, you won the race, you won the championship. And it was so exciting, you know, like, I won it, you know, like. But then I didn't really realize about it until I actually finished the lap and got into the pit lane. And then saw everyone there, you know.
And like, you're like, oh, this is real.
Yeah, you know, like, no, actually, yeah, like, seeing everyone, just the team, also with the F1 Academy champion thing that they had, the picture. Like, it was so cool, you know, everything. But, yeah, my first thought, obviously, like, it was obviously, like, all the work that I've been doing during all these years. Also, 2021, I had a really bad year in terms of mental health and stuff. So, for me, I was really proud. Basically of myself, of everyone who has been supporting me until today. And yeah, it was just great.
I'm glad to hear that you had a moment of just, I've actually done this and I've done so well, because you are so ambitious and competitive. And sometimes I find that it's really hard to just stop for a moment and just say, actually, I've done an incredible job. So I'm glad you had that moment, and with your team, who you said you're continuing with next year. Yeah. Now, you are joining Freca next year. Have you started any tests? Has your Freca journey begun yet? And what have you made of it so far?
Well, it actually has started yet. It has started already.
Okay.
Actually, it's funny enough, I was in Austin. I came back home on the Monday afternoon, and then I think I was already on Thursday, I was already testing with the Freca. So it was like, you know, like, super quick. I was like, oh my god, I don't even have time to canalize that I just won the championship.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And like, enjoy it. They were like, go out, celebrate or something. But yeah, obviously the first test was actually Thursday after Austin. And yeah, it was, you know, it was good. It was obviously, I was not getting too stressed about it, just getting to feel the difference of the car, because obviously it's...
Yeah, what are the differences of the F1 Academy car and the Freca car?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it has, like, technically it has 100 horsepower more, the Formula Regional. And then it's a Renault, of course. The other one is an Alfa Romeo. And then it has more downforce, basically. That's like the differences. It has a differential. The other car doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you drive it also is a bit different.
Okay.
So you need to get used to it. You need to understand the technical side. It was like the first day, obviously, it was not like super easy. But yeah, it was not too bad. Like, I mean, it was not like obviously like super bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, also I've got good teammates as well. I'm not sure if I can say all of them, but that's, I think okay. There was one confirmed. But yeah, the teammates.
I get it from you often. I'm kidding.
The teammates are good, so it's good as well because we will have good references as well. Mm. So that's gonna be super super important. But yeah, obviously I already did a test, and I know it's gonna be really hard. I know it's going to be a really hard season, and we start in May, I think. The calendar is already out. It's all in Europe, and I just have to work really hard. Yeah. Like, I'm just, like, right now I'm doing a lot of stuff. Like, I'm quite busy, but as soon as I'm done with all of it, I'm just going to try to just train a lot physically, because the car is obviously more demanding physically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just working a lot.
And yeah, you are a busy gal. Make the best. You are the busiest person. We were trying to find a day for the podcast, and Marta was like, "I'm shooting this day. I've got events this day." I was like, "Oh yeah. My gosh, this girl is so cool."
No.
But tell me before we kind of wrap up for the end, what is still your goal? Has your goal always remained the same from the moment that you were in karts to the moment that you first joined your Formula races? Has the goalpost ever changed for you? And what is the ultimate kind of dream for Marta now?
Well, I think when I started racing, it was more like a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was probably like 12 years old already, I was like, I want to get into F1. You know, I was like really ambitious about it. And I think during the years when I saw myself that I couldn't really afford to get on in the single seaters and then go back to karting, I was like, okay, maybe I cannot really go to F1. Like, I would have to find other things or like other opportunities in racing. But then I think the goal, like at the end of the day, if you really want it, it's still there.
Yeah.
Like, at least my goal is still, you know, like to get to F1. Obviously, I know if we talk realistically, or however you say that, it's quite difficult. You need a lot of support, you need to do good.
Mm.
you need to have a lot of track time, and you need to deliver, and sometimes for whatever reason you don't deliver. So I mean, it's hard, but yeah, my goal is still to get to F1 someday. I'm 23 years old, so it's not like I'm super mega young, but
you
I think
you said
I'm
that twice, Marta, you're very young.
Really?
Yeah. I said that. Well, you were like, oh, I didn't know if I was young enough to race in F1 Academy.
Yeah, I know. You're young. I know. I don't know. I see myself already. Maybe. No, I shouldn't say that.
Your grey hair. I'm kidding.
No, but yeah.
I found a grey hair.
Actually,
the other
I have grey hair.
I have one as well.
I have like 4 or 5 of them.
I have one, but I pulled it out.
But how old are you?
23.
Ah, so 2000?
1999.
Okay, so
yeah, I found a grey hair.
So where's your birthday?
17th of December.
Okay, it's quite soon then.
Yeah. When's yours? August.
August.
So when you were in school, because how did that work? Actually, I haven't asked you that.
In
I was
school?
Just thinking you must have been the youngest in your school year. And then I was thinking, how long did you go to school for? Or did you do school whilst you were racing?
Yeah, well, obviously, I don't know, I started going to school when I was really young. Until probably like 16, 17. Well, actually when the school finishes. But it's funny enough because... well, I was obviously, when I started racing, I couldn't go that much. But we obviously, at the end of the day, you have to speak to the school and say, look, I'm doing this. I'm not going to be coming for like probably the next 2 weeks.
So they have, they love that.
I mean, yeah, they have to understand it. Otherwise, you probably have to change school. But yeah, my school was quite cool with that. Like, they understood it. It was also a private school, so they sort of like are a bit different with that. But yeah, I finished the I don't know how you say it in English, but like the actual maybe
the exams.
No, like I finished the school for like high school, yeah. And then I went to a high performance center in Barcelona.
Ah.
A really cool place. And then I finished like my last 2 years of like college, is it? But yeah, it was hard because obviously you were racing a lot and stuff, but it was not too hard. The thing, like, it's not like you were going to university to do engineering, which I would find really, really hard. But just going to school, you know, or like to college and then trying to do like your things, I didn't find it really hard. I think it was quite compatible, one thing with the other. And also because I was in the high performance center, it was easier back then because they basically, all of my friends, all of my classmates were basically sport persons.
Mm-hmm.
So they are used to just having in mind that people has competitions and then you cannot have the exams these days, and like everything was just for like sport persons.
I mean, do you think you have quite a scientific mind? Because the way I see your job, it's really sports based. You've got to train, you're obviously driving the car, but also you need to be looking at data, you need to be thinking about the aerodynamics of the car and how you can make it better and all these kind of things. Is that something, I mean, you can't really learn that in school. Is that just something you pick up with experience of telling your engineer exactly what's wrong with the car or how you can be a tenth quicker? Is that just something you need to have experience with?
Yeah, I think obviously in school you don't learn any of this. It's just something that you will get with experience at the end of the day. Like, I started watching data probably when I was in karting. But I think before in karting, you didn't really used to watch data. Nowadays, it's I think everyone watches data in karting, which is good because you obviously start learning already earlier. Like, when you're 13, 14 already, you know how to read data, which is really important. But yeah, I think it's just the experience that I got in racing that just got me that that information or that knowledge about this kind of...
How to talk. It's like a different language, really, when you're talking in terms of engineering, isn't
it? Yeah, I think also when you go back, when you go from karting to... Okay, because when you're in karting, you obviously know how the car is, and then you have to explain it to your mechanic.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
My car is just like slippery from the back, so I cannot really go to the throttle, blah, blah, blah. But then when you get to single seaters, I think it's like a bit more technical and obviously like much more professional. So you gotta be like more prestigious about it. Okay.
Wait, no, what is the word? Not you precious, know? Particular.
I don't think so. Whatever. More like, you know, like...
Accurate.
Yeah. Exactly. And like, you need to learn the language of like understeer, oversteer, or like traction, or like a lot of things that you actually have to learn in the beginning. And then obviously be able to say that in that language of motorsport to your engineers, of course.
Yeah, it must be hard. I mean, I can imagine you've become close with the F1 Academy drivers as well this season. And from what I've seen, it looks like it's been really fun to be part of Prema. Well, Marta, thank you so much. I can't wait to see what you're going to be up to next year. I'll be following your journey. And thank you so much for being here. F1 Academy reigning champion, Marta Garcia Lopez.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for having me
here. Of course.